Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
What's so good about distracting yourself and escaping into this make-believe world?
Hey, if your life kind of sucks for the moment, whether that's just like you had a bad day. A bad week.
Yeah.
A bad year.
Bad life.
A bad couple years.
Is it true that if you have a shittier life, you like books more?
It's 100% true for me.
Welcome back, everybody, to another cozy Two to Ramble episode. My name is Austin.
My name is Richard.
And we're brought to you live. Okay, it's not live, but we're brought to you here with nice PJs on, with nice little tea. What kind of tea is this, Rich?
It's our throat tea because we're both sick.
You know what? We will prosper on.
Sorry for the possible sniffling and coughing you may hear today.
But that's why we're doing an episode like this, because you know those sick days where you're at home from school, from work, from life. Maybe you're in retirement and you have the whole day.
Oh, hey, I was coughing up a lung this morning. That's why I came home from work early.
And now we're able to sit here in our PJs
and
talk about escapism, because when you're sick, there's nothing better than escaping from your sickly body.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going over the great reasons of why it is great to escape and dive into books, but also the negatives to that, the awful parts of why you need to proceed with caution. But we think this could be an interesting conversation about what the pros and cons are of escapism.
Oh, yeah.
And just to start us off with a general stat, is this is what the people, the democracy says, okay, Rich?
The cringe people,
The democracy, there was a poll done to see how often do people spend time escaping from real life in a typical week. And from the study of 2,000 adults across the United States, mind you, it showed that roughly 13 hours of escaping reality each week.
It's quite a lot.
And that was broken down into about an hour and a half for books, should be more, about 2.5 hours for movies, and then 45 minutes just dreaming about vacations, the typical American would say.
That's a little sad.
Yeah, dreaming of something that is not here yet.
Though, hey, that's kind of how we all live life.
Yeah, we all think, we all ponder, and books are just one form of escapism. It is our favorite form of escapism.
Yeah.
The superior form of escapism.
Here's the thing. I like other forms. However, I almost just get fatigued when I watch, like, TV.
Yeah.
I get TV fatigue. Like, I can't just binge everything. I get tired. Same thing with video games. I like video games, but I play about I can only play about an hour of video games at a time, and then I get bored of it. And I go off.
That's a very unique experience you got to realize, because there's times in my life I had to physically quit video games because that's all I'd do with my time. If you give me Minecraft, say goodbye to my month. I loved Minecraft and I still do. I just had to stay away. I had to deny myself the addiction.
Yeah. For me, it's the two things is YouTube and reading is the only things I lose time in. Like, I could spend as much time as I want.
That brings us to our very first reason of, we're going to go over the both the good side and bad side to each pro and con to escapism. And the pro and con is distraction. Let's talk on the pro side. What's so good about distracting yourself and escaping into this make-believe world?
Hey, if your life kind of sucks for the moment, whether that's just like you had a bad day. A bad week.
Yeah.
A bad year.
Bad life.
A bad couple years.
Is it true that if you have a shittier life, you like books more?
It's 100% true for me.
There's a shitty to enjoyment scale of how bad is life is how much you enjoy book.
One of the crappier times in my life,
mm-hmm.
I was consuming roughly 4 to 5 books a week.
Oh, God, you must have been going through it, buddy.
Just
go through it. I saw you during those times. I couldn't pull you out of a black hole. It was, you were gone.
Yeah, our buddy had to do wellness checks.
This little knock, we would see the cockroach in front of your door going, oh, well, he hasn't gotten up today. Those were some dark days.
Dark days. Yeah. But, man, I loved fantasy in those times because mm-hmm. got to escape reality. I didn't want to deal with what I was currently dealing with.
It's a big distressor.
Big problems. Oh, yeah.
What did that do for you mentally, emotionally? Because, hey, I think everybody out there can relate to times in their life.
Oh, yeah, every time one has, like, those
everybody's
moments.
Been bad for weeks, years, just bad periods in your life. What did that do for you emotionally, mentally, physically?
I mean, gave me the relief of just, like, things sucked, and there was nothing I could do, or at least I thought there was nothing I could do. So those empty hours of feeling like hopeless.
Yeah.
Filling that with a very long story of an adventure where things make sense and that there's an order to the world and that there's light. There's basically the hardship comes with an ending that's normally satisfying. That is wonderful to escape to. And you just start forgetting about all your own problems.
And all these stories have these elements of people are in the dirt. They had their dark night of the soul moment, which you're maybe feeling in real life, and they get out of it. So there's a little bit of that hope that comes through.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're reading a book like that, is there ever a time where you'd go there? Because it's more of a, you know, if you were depressed in life and you go there to escape from that reality. But then on the flip side, if you're overly stressed, just so much is going on, you're anxious. Because a lot of the times, depression and anxiety can be the opposite ends of a spectrum.
Sure.
They're very different emotions. Maybe it's not exact opposites, but they're two good distinguishing factors of if you're overwhelmed or not, everything sucks. And
anxiety comes from having too many options and not knowing what to pick. And depression is kind of like you don't see any options on the table. There's no choice. And that's kind of the hopelessness.
Yeah, depression can be more backwards looking. And looking at how bad things just for you up to this point are, and anxiety is just forward looking and overwhelmed in the future of all this stress and anxiety and depression is you're not even, there's no solution in the future. You're just dwelling on how awful it is and everything that's led up to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're feeling anxiety, depression, anything like that, and you go to escape, it can just be such a relief. And
oh, yeah.
Man, I just want to read this book. Just forget about taxes.
Forget your own problems and start focusing on fictional person's problems.
Yeah.
And then that mental satisfaction of that fictional person's problems getting fixed is nice.
It's nice
to feel.
And that can give you another big thing is perspective.
Sure.
Maybe that can give, which we'll get into with other reasons of why escapism is great, but what is the flip side of that, Rich? Why can that distraction be bad?
Well, I was consuming 4 to 5 books a week, and that's a lot of time. A lot of time that I almost effectively wasted. Like, I could have improved my own situation if I spent that time trying to actually fix my situation rather than, you know,
procrastinating, delaying the inevitable.
Exactly. And so I think there is something to it. I like escapism. It's really enjoyable, but it, like everything, is kind of like, it's kind of like a drug. You can get too sucked into it and ultimately is not super helpful. It's a nice luxury that if your life is hard, you don't really have the luxury to escape all the time. You need to actually fix it.
Right. When your distraction becomes avoidance, that's a problem.
Yeah.
As soon as you start avoiding actual problems in your life that you need to face, you need to stop escaping, solve the problem in real life, and earn that escapism in some regard.
Yeah.
So it is always good. Everything in moderation, right? Everybody knows that phrase. But then there's also the looking at the perspective of there's so much you can consume, and what are you actually consuming? These books are one thing, video games are another, TikTok scrolling is another. All this is distractions. All this is escape. What do you want to spend your time escaping with? What do you think provides you more value? What can you be more addicted to? For me, I know video games are just, if I start, I can't stop with a lot of them if I really like a game. So I prevent myself from playing video games. Books are a really great medium for us. I mean, I know there was that period of time where you had those 5 books a week. Yeah. But books, we have a good control over it where it's not a fixation, but it's also just a great relaxing enjoyment. We get so much else out of it too. But just everybody looking at what are you actually doing with that time you're escaping? Is it worth the escape itself?
Well, that's a part of the reason why we did this podcast is there's a lot more of a purpose to all the reading we do. Like all this time is now going to something of, hey, create a community and actually get our thoughts out to other people. And it's basically turning our pastime and something that other people would say, oh, that's a waste of time. And now I don't fundamentally think it's a complete waste of time, but it can become that if it becomes too distracting a part of my life. Versus now when I like, hey, I have to go read a book. That's now it's not just a hobby for me now. It's important because it's a part of the channel. It's channel's work. It's now work, which is a good thing.
That is good. And on top of that, there's 3, 4, 5 more layers of what you get out of a book that even if we didn't have the channel, I think of the medium why we enjoy books so much is the lessons, the themes, what you learn about actual life. There's you get to live outside yourself. So
you generally grow your vocabulary if you read more, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Out of all the distractions, it is one of the better distractions out there of the millions of things you can do.
Now, would it be better if I read more nonfiction books?
No.
Probably would be better for me, but I love fantasy more. Fantasy sci-fi is more fun. Eh, we all will grow eventually.
Yeah, that's important to say, though. What do you spend your time distracting you? Because you're talking about YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of this channel is twofold, actually, Rich. You said the first thing was, hey, we get to now share our opinions and we talk books. But the second you're forgetting is very important. Quit YouTube. We made a podcast to also get people to only listen to our stuff.
Exactly.
Actually, if we'll get you to quit YouTube and everything, don't even listen to our stuff. Go out there, close the phone, close the laptop.
That'll feel good.
If you're working out at the gym right now, if you're cooking food, doing the laundry, okay, you're multitasking. You're doing something. It's mindless in the background. We're just little bees buzzing in your ear. Okay, I get you. But if you're sitting down, watching the screen, watching us talk back and forth like this right now, what are you doing?
Waste.
Just do something else while you're...
Come on.
If you are just watching this right now, I want you to get up. I want you to go do something mindless that you can do. Maybe drive in the car. Go somewhere. If it's in circles, okay, don't waste gas going in circles. But maybe if you're practicing driving, just do something other than just watching us look back and forth. Also, I'm uncomfortable if you're just looking at us right now. So,
yeah. And We put a lot of effort into the video
aspect. Visual stuff, yeah. We're like, okay, let's make sure it's framed right.
Isn't that kind
of lighting,
funny?
Yeah.
That we put all that effort, and most people probably just listen to us. Like, they put us on in the background. No one actually sees our face.
You're 100% correct.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
We could have had a blank screen and it would have been better.
Yeah, we would have been able to put a lot more time into the content if we didn't have to worry about all the technical of like, oh shit, we have to get this special equipment so we can do 4K and then we can zoom in.
Gonna sell the thing, the wire. And but see, now we put so much effort, like, oh, let's do cozy pajamas. That'll fit the thematics of this episode.
Yeah.
Audio listeners, they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care. Maybe some of you do, but that's the point of this channel, is quit the bad distractions, aim toward the better distractions of books.
Yes. Read more books. Watch less YouTube.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Very much. I'm very much against the doom scrolling of YouTube. Like
TikTok, Instagram.
It all kind of sucks, man. And after watching a bunch of YouTube videos, you kind of go like, I wasted 3 hours and learned nothing. I learned nothing of consequence.
I got a chuckle every 7 videos.
Yeah.
Or every 7 shorts. I got a chuckle. And it just kept me in like a casino because they gave me a little dopamine boost every now and then pulled back, then pulled back, then gave me a little bit, then pulled back, then pulled back.
We don't have that much time on this earth, and wasting that amount of time is tragic. Just like you're doing right now, listening to us. But anyway.
We like to think we provide more value than the TikTok scroll, but not much.
Eh.
You know?
Eh.
Hey, they're not doing drugs out there. At least, you know, or that, they could be multitasking. I don't want to assume.
Who knows? Maybe our podcast is much better to listen to when they're on drugs.
We're not promoting that.
No, we're not.
We're just making a statement.
It's a possibility.
So distractions, there's a lot of pros that we talk about and a lot of cons for just the distraction itself. Do you want to go on to our second point?
Let's go on.
Second point here is a moral teacher. So when you go in this escapism, this is mostly for books, film, art in general. So this is less so for that doom scrolling we were talking about. But when you go to escape and read a book, or when you go to escape and watch a great film, there are so many moral lessons that you could learn, not only as adults, but very important for adults, but children. Children soak up these stories and can live these other lives and look at these stories that they'd never be able to experience because they're 7 years old. They don't know much about life.
It's arguably the purpose of fantasy. If you would consider fairy tales being the earliest form of fantasy, I would say that is their purpose, is to take lessons, like moral lessons or moral wisdom, and pass it on to the next generation in a form that they could understand and remember. That is the purpose of stories. And so a story's message, I think, is essential. And it's important to be able to pass that along.
Absolutely. Because with Pixar films are so simple and have such a timeless message that is for kids today versus 100 years ago, they would have been looking at Snow White.
Yeah. Which is why I do think the messaging in films is very important. That you'll often see when people talk about like some Pixar film and they'll be saying like, hey, why do you care about like the message in a Pixar film? It's just a kid's story. That's, I think, naive. A kid's story, it's very important the type of messaging and the morals that you're teaching your kids. Having a stupid or pointless or negative message in a kid's story is very important to criticize and look at.
Definitely, because the bad side of this, this escapism is, well, if the movie or if the book has a bad message, where it's, hey, killing is, just go kill people, do it, that's a horrible message. So these stories can convince you of bad things if it's a bad message. Now, good thing is that there's not many of those, and generally speaking, the public, the democracy does have a pretty good pull at times when it comes generally speaking...
Well, at this point, we don't have too many of those. We have just more the nuanced things of like, there's tinier messages with like, you know, here's more the maybe controversial, the idea of like pursuing your dreams. Like you see a lot of these movies of like, do what your heart wants, that kind of messaging. I don't know if that's nice. It sounds nice. I don't know if that's particularly a great message. I think it's kind of a message of selfishness, of kind of looking in toward yourself and trying to find what, oh, I'm just going to do what I think makes me passionate, rather than trying to look outward of what I could do to best serve my community. And often I think leads to a lot of struggle with people today of trying to find their passion. Like what makes me happy, when ultimately what actually brings you the most joy is serving others and finding something that you can do the most value for others. And when you find that you're giving a lot to others, you find that you are also happy. So like, I kind of disagree with that kid's message of like, oh, you can be anything you want to be, just, you know, do what makes you happy. I think is maybe a naive message, not necessarily a wrong one, but those are nuanced. Like that's tiny things. That's not like, hey, go out and kill people.
It's a great example of, hey, that's a good point, because there aren't movies that are saying this evil thing, hey, go commit genocide. Movies aren't doing that. It's when it gets nuanced to a take of, it's not just that, there's more there. And I wish that the story would have given that message better, especially to an audience. Mm-hmm. Because the flip side of stories is, since stories can move you so well, this is true for adults can have a political opinion. They can have something they believe in so, with all their heart, they believe in this thing, but then they're presented with a story that moves them that can change their mind. Because we change our minds emotionally, not rationally most of the time. So when we can get emotionally pulled by a story that touches our heart, we can then see a new perspective and go, now, wait a second, I didn't think of it like that. And this character who I fell in love with sees the world like this, and you can see things differently. Versus if someone comes at you going, actually, the statistics are this and this and this, you're going to be more defensive about things, but then you can open up to a story that's emotionally pulling you in. So it's a lot easier. So on the good side is, hey, books can change your mind. Distract this escapism can change your mind. On the bad side, hey, can a story confirm you more in your biases and make you more certain of a bad opinion as well? So it comes with both ways, and just hopefully the person reading it, we just have better literacy, better media literacy in general. People are able to be, unbiased is the wrong word, just be more open to both perspectives and just understanding that there's right and wrong is hard to distinguish a lot of the times. There's a hard right and a hard wrong. Like I use the killing example because very obviously one is good, one is bad. When you get more nuanced, it gets more difficult, which is what makes stories so interesting and compelling.
Well, there's so much power there that I bring up an interesting example, and people are free to disagree with me in the comments about this. This is not like actual facts. This is just kind of a
theory, observation,
a possible explanation of it's not too long. So homosexuality in the United States, trust me, I'm taking this.
Well, hey, let him cook.
Let me cook. Even in my own lifetime, not very long, homosexuality has changed a lot in perception.
In 2 decades,
Gay marriage being far more of a, like, basically Obama's first term, Obama was against gay marriage, and his second term was for it, and ever then on, like, it's become a far more of an accepted thing, where I think a lot of that and the acceptance of homosexuality in society has been due to shows like Will and Grace, things like Modern Family, that a bunch of sitcom shows started showing more gay couples.
Catherine, an example, not to throw you off track.
Showing that positive relationship.
Star Trek, you love, and interracial marriage. And didn't Star Trek have one of the first on-screen kisses between black and white
for
cast members, right?
Lieutenant Uhura and Kirk.
Yeah, go back to your example. I was just saying
that. But no, I think
media
that
in general,
gay people have been in media for a long time. I just think that there is a period where it was promoted far more often. Like, you got to see basically gay people's perspectives more often in more popular shows, and I think that changed people's minds on gay marriage. Because I can't think of another reason why gay marriage was able to that quickly turn. Like, public opinion on something that has been kind of widely... Okay, gay marriage being just not a thing for however many hundreds, thousands of years, and then public perception changed with like that.
I like how with hundreds, thousands of years, I'm just thinking back to Homo sapiens and Neanderthals, just being
not
like,
the gay marriage, not thousands, not like hundreds of thousands.
You gave me a great visual of just like us in our primal forms, just arguing about, but yeah, thousands of years.
Thousands of years, and then changed within a couple of years, like 2 decades at most. That's pretty damn impressive. And so I think that shows the power of stories.
I think that's the second reason, though. The first is, I think when the fedora came out, everyone's like, okay, those are badass. And you see people with fedoras, like, how am I going to not allow that? You know? It's like, that's pretty snazzy. So, yeah, that's a good point of how quickly, especially with, I think a big push of that is the internet. And that we're all, so stories is one thing, but you get to hear the personal stories of others because the internet allowed everybody to connect instantaneously, where you might not have known a person that was gay 20 years ago just because there was no access.
Yeah.
So now what stories do, what the internet does, is allow you to see all sorts of different perspectives. And society can change very quickly, which can be, hey, sometimes it can go too quickly. Sometimes society sure. can change too slow. But it's just, with the internet, there's this unfiltered ability to, now everybody sees all these different perspectives. And the whole point of this second point is the moral teacher of society can go in a better direction or society can go in a worse direction, depending on how yeah. quickly something's being put. So,
well, that's the danger of societal change, of right. not all change is great change. And the fact that change happens so quickly now with the internet, that's dangerous. Normally, change over society takes a long time because it's a slow changing process is normally the safer route of change because you get to weed things out, test things, see how things go. It's generally how society moves forward. If things change quickly, you can go down a pretty terrible path. But hey, that's yeah. the internet for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, point being of why both sides of the people that are sending a story that they want things to change. Like the Ooh. Good example you gave. Hey, this has changed quickly. Good. And then there's the other side of,
have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Well, what if we want to start changing, like, hey, we're going to start... Here's my thing. I understand why, but when you tax me 5 cents for my grocery bag, I get it. It's environmentally good. I get it, but just damn it.
No, it isn't. It's oh, you know, it's you. For the environment.
Give me my
bullshit.
Let me save my, wait, like I need
bullshit.
5 cents.
5 cents. No, it pissed me off. No, it does. I'm taxed on every good. How many times can I tax my same dollar? It pisses
what
me
we
off.
Need a, what we need a story about. We need a great story with Kaladin in there of just going, complaining about the grocery bag, which is the smallest problem. And no, do we need that 5 cents? Does it cost me probably $10 in my lifetime? Yes. But it's the purpose of, damn it, there's another thing. It's just seeing the number on screen, even though money's not real.
That is true.
So you know what?
It's just numbers on a screen.
They might have a point, because what is 5 cents when $10 means nothing? All of it's not real. I think I just convinced myself otherwise.
I mean, that's how our government treats money. It's not real.
So that is the second point with why escapism is both great and awful as a moral teacher.
Yeah.
And that's why we love stories, because we could. This is the juice of fantasy. This is what we get out of it. And the third reason, unless you have something else to add there.
Yeah, we'll move on.
Okay. We'll talk about abortion next. We did gay marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
The third thing is intellect. Now, I separated this from moral teacher, as in what escapism can do for you is give you science, math, factual information, not just different perspectives to move you in a certain way, but things that you didn't literally know. if you just live your own life and only your own life, you will live in a lot of ignorance. But reading something about, hey, I'm reading Three Body Problem right now, and it's giving me a good history lesson about the Chinese Communist Revolution. I'm getting some information that I didn't know otherwise if I didn't read this book and go, whoa, that happened? And now I'm going online going, wait, did this happen? And so I'm reading a book that's opening my eyes to entire history that I was more unfamiliar with. Sure, I knew that it happened. I knew about Mao. I knew,
I knew general stuff. Yeah, but it's kind of like when people across the pond think like, oh yeah, American Revolution, like it happened, you know, British, you know, they just know it, like it happened.
How about
they
you give a 30 second details. History of the American Revolution? 30 seconds, that's all you got.
Basically a small group of rebellious traders thought that tea was too expensive, and they were upset that the British were charging them money. Because the British basically saved them from a bunch of Native American attacks that were sponsored by the French. And basically, British were like, hey, we spent a lot of money on you guys, Americans, and we kind of need our money back. So we're going to tax you on tea. And a very small percentage of the American population was like, fuck you. And sparked a revolution that most didn't want, but eventually succeeded.
Cheers. Cheers, America. Hey, we're here. We exist.
Fuck yeah. Just to show, it doesn't take everyone to actually have a successful revolution. A small percentage of very dedicated dissenters.
You know, if Tudor Ramble gets big enough of a cult, one day we can be like, go stand outside of Amazon.
I think there is something about it of like, I think it only takes like maximum
5% of the population. That's really,
I think it was like a debt, like I can't, I think there's like a meme or joke about like dedicated like 7%ers, something like if you have a strong, a well-motivated 7%, you could take over a nation, something like that.
Because then people would just be like, oh, there stuff's happening, I'll follow.
You have the dedicated early followers, and you have like, if you have at least like, if you have close to 10% that are really want to overthrow a country, like, that means that there's a lot more people that don't like the country, but are not willing to actually throw the first stone. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to, once the ball gets rolling, they'll join.
Yeah, you have a lot of those stragglers that come in.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that happened in the American Revolution. Oh, exactly.
It happens in, I think, every revolution ever.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to write a book.
We're getting too dangerous, Tom. I'm not advocating for revolution. I hope people get that, but this is just the nature of how these things work. I didn't know this one was going to be the more controversial one. We're talking about gay bears, talk about revolution. Man, I shouldn't put on a robe.
As soon as the robes come out, we get nice and philosophical.
A little bit of revolting.
But no, that point was off intellect of, you get to learn things from books you would have never known. We were talking about Chinese Communist Revolution and going how, hey, I didn't know this stuff as I was researching. By reading Three Body Problem, you can learn both history, science, math, any subject you can get out of a book. I mean, I would even go to the extent of, I think books are one of the better forms of distractions and escapism. But you could go to a video game and learn things that I wouldn't know. Hey, I know, okay, I've played first-person shooters. I know a little bit more about guns than I would have known. I know that's not an exact, like, oh, I'm not super intelligent on that now. But I go, oh, I can name some things about military stuff there. Or when I'm playing Minecraft, I could name some things about architecture. When you're building Legos as a distraction, Legos can teach you actual skills with your life of, hey,
you learn the basic stuff of like different patterns work better for different structures. Hey, having a larger base.
And, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
You've played, there's those tycoon games where you go,
I love those.
Yeah, there's all these kind of games, or even if it's really simple, you can learn, there's always something you could probably learn because it was designed by people who did know it and then made it.
You could play Nier Automata and learn all about nihilism and existential problems.
And on the negative side, on the negative side of this intellect that you can learn from all this stuff is the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yeah, where you think you know a lot more than you Really do.
Yeah. Where the people who, once you learn a new piece of information, you think that you now understand it and can now go dictate it, and you can now explain to other people everything that you know on the one sense of, hey, you now have all the information, when in reality, you know less than you think you know. Versus the wiser thing to do is when you pull that new information and you have something in your tool belt now, you go, wait, I just learned something new that I never knew my whole life. How much more do I not know? So almost the more that you learn, the more certainty is it that you know so little, is the takeaway of most things of, hey, if the difference between confidence and arrogance is, a confident person can say what their opinion is and go, this is the information I have, this is what I've learned, but is willing to change their mind.
Yeah.
Without it affecting their ego. That's confidence. Arrogance is when you're presented with all this information and you are incorrigible. You will not change your mind regardless of what's presented because you think you know it all from your life experience up to this age you've had.
Yeah, hey, we currently have that problem with so many people, which they do have experience in something. And this is, I think, just a general problem with the internet of making people famous for a variety of different reasons. But that fame doesn't stick to their sphere of influence. So you have people who, like any Hollywood actor who is famous for decent reason of, hey, look, they're really good at acting.
Better than I'll ever be.
And they should be, you know, that is their wheelhouse. You should respect them. When they talk about acting, when they talk about movies, you should listen to them. You should respect their opinion on it because they do know a bit. But when they start talking about random other bullshit, it's like, they don't know what they're talking about. They're actors. Don't trust them on that. Unless they actually have went out and done some other stuff, not just acting, and they actually are knowledgeable. Cool. But generally, they're a bunch of clowns.
A platform doesn't mean that you are great at everything.
Thing is, this is not even common. Like, everyone knows the actor thing, but there's plenty of like scientists out there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I've talked to other people that mention this problem. I can see it. There are many scientists who are experts in their field, very good at their field, but then they start talking outside their field.
So an astrophysicist talks about evolution, or maybe they're technically right,
or like, yeah, they're smart people.
They know more than me generally, but
they're not the expert.
I get what you mean.
It's a big problem with
an important caveat is you don't have to be an expert to say the right thing. Like the statement is correct regardless of what mouth it comes out of. It's just more likely is the case of, hey, when you transition out of something that you're super knowledgeable about, the chances are there's a lot you don't know. So you can run into iffy territory.
It's more of the hesitancy of if you are an expert in a field, you should be very cautious trying to speak outside of your wheelhouse. It's kind of like what we do here of, I know for myself, that I have opinions about many things.
We never get political, talk about gay marriage or revolutions here. We always stick on point.
To be fair, I'm going on my wheelhouse of like, hey, here's an idea.
I'm joking with you.
What do I know?
Mm-hmm.
I know fantasy sci-fi stuff. That's kind of what I know. You should not listen to me on anything else, really. And even that, even fantasy sci-fi, other people have read more than me. Everything else, I'm not an expert in. Don't trust me on any of that shit.
Honestly, what you could take from our conversations a lot of time is listen to what we're saying and feel free to disagree harshly. It's just, I hope what we provide is we don't try to go out of our wheelhouse too much. We just love talking about, like, we'll go into religion, philosophy, things that are associated because we love messaging. We love, there's so much adjacent to fantasy that makes it our thing and storytelling. And we'll have podcast episodes about writing advice and things like that where we'll pull from authors that we really love. We like to read into what others are saying and just, ooh, let's pull the things that we like. And why don't we like this? Why don't we like that plot? A lot of people won't agree with us a lot of the time. But I guess our goal here, we're hopefully going in with all this progression from you see us from episode one until episode 178. That'll be the last one. So until you see us all the way to the end there, it's, I hope that we keep up the attitude of, hey, the episode, last episode and the one before, we were always more wrong in the past. Or we're always going more toward whatever
basically, I hope
growth
to get,
is for us.
I hope to get one step better.
Each
one
episode,
step closer to truth every episode would be nice.
Hey, we take back steps a lot. But
quite a few.
Hopefully we're better episode 150 than 50.
We can hope.
Yeah. Okay, you want to go into the next one. So that was intellect, of the Dunning-Kruger effect, how it could be a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
So the fourth reason for escapism, why it is great and why is it all, why it's awful, is motivation and inspiration on the good side. Of not just as a distraction, but a lot of the times when you go and read something or see a movie, I've done this so many times, I go and watch a film, and that's my personality for the next week. I want to go conquer the earth. I want, I Frodo, fuck yeah, Frodo. And then I just want to do everything. I want to conquer everything because I'm so inspired from reading something that it changes my real life.
What is the last big inspirational piece of media, piece of content that you consumed? Where, like, that was your personality for the week?
Piranesi. I think Piranesi for book-wise, there are some films that... there's films that made me think a lot and just go, damn, that's great. But Piranesi was the most recent one of a book that I read that, and it confirmed a lot of my thoughts on things, but then made me think... It just... The message stuck with me, and I just kept going, yeah! 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 I just kept saying, yeah. I woke up in the middle of the night, yeah, yeah! And then went back to sleep. So Piranesi was that for me. What about you?
For me, Sun Eater. Sun Eater was hype. Made me feel like I need to go on my own adventure. It's like this glory. I was having some good times with it.
Nice.
But also motivation movie-wise, I would say Top Gun Maverick gave me more inspiration. I mean, I've always wanted to fly and be a pilot, but man, does that push you to like...
It's great PR for...
Yeah.
Ooh. For the Air Force.
I have way too many... interests that require money that I don't have. I can afford only so much.
Mm-hmm.
Books is currently occupying my financial hobby.
Yeah.
Eventually, I will have enough money to do my other interests.
I'm so lame. I'll sometimes watch a boxing fight and be like, oh, I could do that. No, I couldn't.
It's expensive. Also time consuming.
Oh, to box. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's an expensive hobby at times, but I just mean, I think...
Well, okay. It's expensive.
If you want lessons, if you want to learn boxing, if you just get gloves and you want to punch a bag, no.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That's not super expensive, but to actually be good...
You know what my new personality is? Pickleball.
Pickleball?
Pickleball is so fun. I learned pickleball for the first time a month ago or so. It is the most fun sport ever for all ages. And it is the best form between tennis, which tennis is more difficult because it's a wider court. The ball is much harder.
You have to have more stamina.
Yeah, maybe stamina too. But it's just when you go play pickleball, you could play with your grandparents. You could play with a kid. It's just all ages. And also you can, if you just want to do one-on-one, you could do one-on-one and you could do doubles. And if you just want to go really competitive and you want to do something with your friend, you can also go really hard. So it is variable to any level of difficulty you want to go. And it's always fun. Pickleball. Go play pickleball.
I have to try it.
Yeah. That's my personality right now. And then on the bad side of the motivation and inspiration that you can get where something sticks with you and you just go, that's me now. I am literally Ken. Like, honestly, Barbie inspired me to be more like Ken. Ryan Gosling is peak.
He's literally me, guys.
Ken, you got that Kenergy. He's great. So you leave feeling great. Or Spider-Man meme from what's his name? The original Spider-Man? What's his name? Tobey Maguire. Did it? Get up! You know the whole song. You're just feeling good.
Yeah.
On the opposite side, you could see a story or something that hits you in an opposite way of where you get really the opposite emotions that aren't good for real life. Maybe a story depresses you. You get nihilistic. You start to hate life. And sometimes a story isn't trying to do that, but the way you can look at it and perceive it just gets you really down on yourself. So
yeah,
that's also the case of what can happen. And it's just obviously bearing in mind how to prevent that or avoid that as much as possible.
Well, a lot of it is, it's important to realize the context of real life is normally a lot more mundane than what stories will typically show you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a lot of the people in like... basically, all of the internet is supposed to be sensational and supposed to show the extremes of things. And people start to believe that those extremes are more common than they really are. And so this kind of same thing with stories. If you start believing that this kind of insanity is like common, then you operate in the world, like, that's true, and that's really, really healthy. It's kind of the same thing with, like, basically, like, I know red pill, like, red pill men talk about, like, oh, women are terrible, and they suck at it. They listen to all these weird stories about, like, oh, yeah, my wife cheated on me with my best friend, and you hear enough of those stories, and you think, oh, man, all women are terrible. And then, you know, you touch grass, and you go, oh, actually, these are the outlier extremes. It's not.
I would even go far women. And say this. If the women around you are terrible, it means you're terrible. If the men around you are terrible, it means you're probably terrible. The people you surround yourself with is a good indicator of
your own moral
what you need to change in your life.
Oh, yeah.
That's more so what I think.
I completely agree with you. Yeah. If you notice that, man, all my friends are snakes. They would all betray me.
Wow.
Gotta question you.
You need to change your life significantly in order to surround yourself with better people.
Yeah.
Because you are, I think everybody knows this, the quote about you're the five people you're an amalgamation of the five people you surround yourself with, the closest people. So,
but the main thing is those stories that you can read about, they will show a extreme, they'll show something tremendous. And it's important to realize that often that it's not reality. That reality is a lot more calm and mundane than that. Mm-hmm. And that it is not about the big explosive moments and the, you know, the big adventure that takes place over a short period of time. That life is all about these small moments over years.
Right.
That's the important stuff, not the big moment at the end of the year.
Yeah, even sometimes maybe you're not saving Middle Earth and going through to Mordor, but hey, saving your marriage is just as important.
Yeah.
So
calling your mom, calling your grandma frequently, because you don't have too many phone calls left in the grand scheme of things.
My grandma's going to be on the podcast soon. I can't freaking wait. Oh, it's going to be amazing. Grandma, we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
But yes, that was on the motivation, inspiration versus depressing and existential. If a story can impact you in a way to where you take away from it and it impacts your real life horribly and negatively, mm-hmm. not good.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into the last portion?
Let's get into it.
The fifth reason why it's great and why it's bad, it's a pretty obvious one, but I think this can go into something.
Okay.
So why escapism can be great, it's a solo activity. You are the purveyor of your destiny here. You can take it how you want. You are the king of your own brain. You don't have to listen to anybody. Democracy is cringe. I determine what I think of this book. But in the opposite end, sometimes when there's a seesaw, sometimes you need somebody else on the other end of that seesaw to teeter your
totter. Sometimes when you're teetering,
mm-hmm.
you need someone else to totter.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm just saying, book reading is amazing, and you can go escape, and it's a solo activity that you're doing all this. But at the same time, going outside of just yourself, and hey, maybe you can even do this. Escape with somebody else. Watch a movie with somebody else. Go experience something with somebody else. And you can get an activity of doing something with somebody you love. And then on the flip side, you can do a podcast with somebody that you hate. It's all up to you. However you want to surround yourself in your life.
You can curate your own reality.
Mm-hmm. And just think of that. The people you surround yourself with or the people that you're facing can sometimes not be who you want to be around.
That is true. Mm. It can be like looking at one of those like circus mirrors.
Yeah.
Twisted. Where you look at it and you're kind of just disgusted by what you see in front of you.
I'm a little self-hating and I like to surround myself with that.
I like to see examples of where my life could go wrong and how I could, like, it makes me realize, like, hey, look, I'm not that bad. I could be much worse.
It's almost an ego boost.
Oh, 100%.
Like, surround yourself with people worse than you so that you feel better
about yourself. And
you'll
always be the best person in your friend group. Yeah, I see it.
And then try to push them down as much as possible. So the actual message of all this is with talking about solo activity versus group activity, the solo part of it is good because you get to, you need your alone time.
Yeah, it's good to be able to have something to do by yourself and to be entertained when you're by yourself.
Absolutely.
But I think if we learned anything from COVID, we are social creatures. We need other people. We can't spend time by ourselves completely. Like, it is devastating to be socially isolated. It It really is.
Yeah.
And hey, if you want to read books and not be socially isolated, you can join our Discord, our exclusive book club, where you can actually talk with people about the books you read and not be socially isolated. I know that was a big benefit for me of now when I read books, it's not completely solo. It's now
any book we ever read, there's somebody to talk about with. Yeah. We have a book every month that our patrons pick. We read along with them, talk in Discord chat, and there's always community book clubs going on as well. It's the best time ever. And that was such a smooth ad.
Oh, yeah.
That was your smoothest of all the episodes we've done so far. I didn't even see it coming.
Thank you.
I did not see it coming. That means, you know,
I'm always good at my self-promotion.
Good stuff.
Now, shameless self-plug.
So do an activity with others. If you can enjoy your hobbies and your distractions and your explorations into escapism, doing that with others can also be a huge benefit.
I don't know about you, but my favorite thing to do with friends and other people is, like, there are the friends where you enjoy having fun with them. Mm-hmm. And that there's a certain level of closeness, but you have friends where you actually have to be doing something with them for you to hang out.
Mm.
I really enjoy when you get really close to somebody that you can just hang out doing nothing and you're by yourself together.
Mm.
I find that a very enjoyable thing to do.
Yes.
That's my personal favorite past. Like, hey, let's hang out. You want to do anything? Nah, let's just read together. We'll be in the same room. That's it.
It's great sitting next to you on a plane because we're just both reading.
It's good.
We just go read, and you know,
well, other people, you're like, you feel awkward at the silence. And when you're really close to someone, you're like, I got to fill in the void. If you're close to someone, you're like, you can be sitting silent next to each other for hours and it's not awkward. That's an enjoyable thing.
I hope one day, when you guys are listening to all this, you feel like you're being a part of something greater, something you're not,
you know,
so alone.
That's the hopeful thing. You know, we planned the whole podcast with like 45 degree angle of the chairs. So
welcome,
like,
in
the camera is the third person. Our silent friend that's sitting in on the conversation with us is comfortable being silent in a conversation or room with friends.
And we hope we continue to provide that if we do at all. This has been another Tutor Ramble episode. Cheers.
Sign off.
Bye-bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.